This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type into one.
After someone has had a near-death experience or survived an unusual accident, well-wishers will often say, "Hey, don't worry. After all, lightning never strikes twice in the same spot." And what they're saying, with only the best wishes and calming thoughts in mind, is that if you have had one close call, well then, you're pretty safe from getting a second one. But if that is what they are trying to say, well then, lightning is a bad example. In fact, if you look at how and where lightning strikes occur, you'll find that the exact opposite is true. The city of Darwin is the lightning capital of Australia and attracts many visiting lightning scientists. A recent summer thunderstorm in Darwin generated an amazing 1,634 lightning bolts in just a few hours, which is roughly the number of bolts that the city of Perth receives in an entire year. Now, Darwin is in the tropics close to the equator, and so it gets a lot of heat energy from the sun. This heat energy then heats up the land, which in turn makes the air above it rise. But this air is moist, because Darwin is on the coast. Now, as the moist air rises, it cools into ice crystals. These ice crystals then collide with each other and somehow set up a separation of positive and negative electrical charges. Once the voltage difference between the positive and negative charges gets big enough, the negative charges head for the nearest positive charges, and hey presto, you have a lightning bolt. Now, this is the short explanation. I'll go into more detail a bit later. If this lightning bolt heads for the ground, it will usually head for the same high point that it hit last time there was a thunderstorm in that area. And so, in Darwin, many of the tall structures and power poles have been hit by lightning more than once. And they have the burn marks to prove it. Lightning is one of the most beautiful and most destructive of all natural phenomena. On average, each year, it kills more people than practically any other natural disaster, such as earthquakes, cyclones, floods, tsunamis, and bushfires. At any given moment, there are about 1,800 thunderstorms blasting away around the planet, usually in the late afternoon and early evening, when the land temperatures are at their highest. Most thunderstorms happen between 50 degrees north and 50 degrees south, so that covers from the equator to a bit over halfway to the poles, going in each direction. About 80% of thunderstorms happen over land, leaving 20% over the oceans. They generate about 100 lightning strikes each second. About 80% of these lightning strikes or bolts happen inside the cloud or from one cloud to another. And fewer than 20% run between the cloud and the ground. Our understanding of lightning begins in 600 BC with the Greek philosopher Thales. Now, he was also the first person to predict a total solar eclipse. Anyhow, as an experiment, Thales rubbed a rod of amber with a dry cloth. Amber is a semi-precious gemstone that seeped out of trees a long time ago. The rod of amber then attracted feathers. The amber was an excellent insulator, and once it had attracted some electrons from the dry cloth by mechanical friction, it hung on to them. The rod was, relatively speaking, negative with respect to the feathers, and so it attracted them. And, as a result, the feathers flew to the rod of amber. In the 1500s, William Gilbert, scientist and physician to Queen Elizabeth I, repeated Thales' experiment. He called the strange phenomenon electrica, because the Greek word for amber is electron. Now, we're not exactly sure how, but we think that some kind of rubbing or collision causes electrons to get stripped off from their atoms in a thundercloud. And this separation of electrons from their host atoms is probably associated with collisions between small ice particles. The reason we think this is because a thundercloud that has no ice tends to have very little lightning. A typical thundercloud has an excess of electrons on its underside, making it negatively charged. And once you get enough of them, these electrons then repel other electrons in the ground below, say half a kilometre below. The ground electrons then leave the area, resulting in the ground becoming positively charged. So next time, I'll come back with a thrilling conclusion to the negative cloud and a positive ground. And here's a hint. It might involve a lightning bolt.
What does it mean? Why is it so?